In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there's scaredy cat Gideon threshing his wheat down in a hole. He was in a wine press, but wine presses were often built into the ground so that you could pour all your grapes into them and stomp them down and make juice and scoop out the juice and let it turn into wine, right? There he is in a hole in the ground, just trying to find a bite to eat before the big bad Midianites come and take away his lunch money. And what happens? The angel of the Lord comes along, that second person of the Trinity, Jesus, before he took on flesh. He strolls up and he plops himself down underneath the tree by that wine press. And he peers down over the edge and he says to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Of course, our Lord loves irony. But that's the key to this story. That's the key here, that Gideon is not what the Lord says he is. And the Lord says later on, he says, "Go in the strength of yours and free Israel." And yet the Lord's word creates what is not. I mean, Gideon is a scrawny, fraidy cat, pipsqueak, making excuses for himself, and the Lord declares him mighty. Gideon has no strength, and yet the Lord declares him strong. And this is not just wishful thinking. This is the Lord who called heaven and earth into existence by his word, he who is the very word of God himself. And so what he says actually happens. And so Gideon goes in this new might that he has, and this is one of the little portions we skipped over. He goes and he tears down the altar of Baal that's on his father's property. Now, one of the things you may not know about Baal, however you say it, is that not only does he have altars where sacrifices are made, but the idol for Baal is basically a great big oblong piece of stone, a phallic symbol, as it were. And beside the altar was always a tree, an Asherah tree, which was basically the symbol of Ashtaroth, who was Baal's consort goddess. And so basically there at the temples of Baal, not only did you make sacrifices, you would also go and do what you wanted Baal and Ashtaroth to do up in the heavens so that they would make the land, the clouds rain and the land fertile. So literally the priestesses and priests at those temples, what did they do? They did the do. In order to get Baal to do the dew, in order to bring the dew and the rain on your land and make everything fertile, etc. That's the kind of worship that was going on at these places. So what does Gideon in his new might do? He goes and he tears down that altar of Baal and he builds an altar to the Lord in that place. But he does it at night because he's still kind of afraid. And after this happens, he becomes known as Jerubbaal, which literally means "let Baal fight with him" or "Baal contend against him." And yet despite this bravery that he exhibits here, the old Adam still remains in him. He did it at night because he was afraid. What a mighty man of valor, huh? And so he tests the Lord, which of course seems presumptuous to us. After all, we all know the story of Jesus being tempted by the devil, and Jesus quoting Deuteronomy 6:16, which says, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Well, if you look at the context of that verse, this testing that Gideon does is not testing so much as it is faith strengthening. And so the Lord has specially authorized Gideon. Gideon needs to be strengthened by the Lord. He needs to know that the Lord really is sending him. Because Deuteronomy also says that by two or more witnesses, a thing or a matter is established. Thus, the Lord gives Gideon two signs, two witnesses with the fleece. And then later in the story, he even gives him a third sign when he goes down to the camp of the Midianites and hears what the Midianites are all saying, right? A third sign. Three, anyone? Three is the number of the Lord's salvation, the day that the Lord rose from the dead, etc. But we get ahead of ourselves. So Jerubbaal, this fighter of Baal, he rallies Israel. He calls out all the fighting men. There's about 32,000 of them, we're told, to fight the 135,000 or so Midianites and all of their allies that are with them. And the Lord says, no, mighty man, that's too many. When you win, you'll think that you did it by your own might, not the might that I speak into you. You need less men. Send home the ones who are scared. And so 22,000 of them go home. There's only 10,000 left. Doesn't look so good. But what a brag, what a story if 10,000 were to beat 135,000. Wouldn't that be something? They'd get pretty full of themselves, wouldn't they? So the Lord says, no, it's still too many. Take them down to the brook and see which ones of them lap the water like dogs. Set those ones apart. Or as Agnes said the other day when we were talking about this, yeah, I should think so. Set those ones apart. 300 dogs. 300 ones lap the water like dogs. And the Lord says, send the rest home. You've got your army of mighty men. 300 dogs. And of course, then, as now, to be called a dog is not a compliment. And so what's the Lord's point here? The Lord's point is, I'm going to do this, not you. My might shall save you, not you, not yours. It's by my might. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, sometime later through the prophet Zechariah. And so, strengthened a third time by that third sign when he goes down to the camp and hears what his enemies are saying, strengthened a third time by the mouth of his enemy, showing that the Lord is actually at work there, causing those Midianites down in the camp to their hearts to melt. I mean, this massive army that is covering the land like locusts is afraid of little Jeroboam. And so he divides his 300 men into three companies, three again, the number of the Lord's salvation. Three companies, they surround the army up on the hills all around the valley with trumpets and torches in pots. Not a sword in their hands. Trumpet in one hand, torch in the other. No swords here. No swords. And at Gideon's command, in turn, each of those companies blasts their trumpets, smash their pots. The three groups of 100, the torches all appear in the middle of the night surrounding the camp. There's three shouts in order. A sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And of course, the name Gideon actually literally means in Hebrew a cutting off, a hewing down, as Gideon did to that Asherah tree. But where is the sword of the Lord? There's no swords in their hands. Trumpets, torches, no swords here. The sword that they have is the sword of the Lord's word. It's in their mouths. That's where the sword is. Just as the Lord's word is a sword that cuts to the heart, as Scripture says over and over and over again. And so the Midianites are routed, not by them, but by the Lord, as the Lord sends them all into a panic and they cut each other down and they flee. And the Lord gave victory to Gideon. By Gideon, he contended against Baal and the people of Baal, and he won. He won the hearts of his people. He won them back from their sin. He freed them of their oppression, which their sin brought on them. And for the life of Gideon, there was peace and there was faith in Israel. For Gideon, by his words and his actions, he executed the Lord's judgments, which really means that Gideon, as a judge, Gideon is a pastor. He's a speaker of God's word, a doer of God's word. That's what the judges were. They enacted and they spoke God's word to God's people, freeing them of their oppression of sinful unbelief. Just as pastors enact and speak the Lord's word to you in holy absolution, like we did at the beginning of the service today. By their word, they free you of the oppression of sin, and they give a new you and a right conscience to you before the Lord. They replace that weak, scared sinner in you with a mighty man of valor. And it's the word of the Lord that does this. But the people of Israel, of course, did not always listen. Throughout the time that the Lord raised up the judges, things were always good as long as there was a judge to speak. But once that judge died, they turned away from the Lord again in a generational cycle. And can you imagine being without a pastor? Your pastor dies, and there's no one to take his place. Never a pastor, maybe not even for a whole generation. No one to speak to you the Lord's forgiveness. Never someone to free you from your guilt and your shame, to renew that mighty man of faith inside of you. If we were in that situation, we would fall too. And so the Lord raises up a Gideon, a judge, a pastor for you, a speaker of his word of forgiveness to you. For you, just like Israel, you and I, we live in that cycle. Until the day you die, you will always contend with the old sinful nature inside of you, that old Adam or that old Eve in there. It always wants to fight for control. It wants to oppress you, and it wants to make you do its will and not the Lord's will. But you, O Christian, are not of the old sinful flesh. You are not your sinful desire, for in Christ you are a mighty man of valor. In Him, in your baptism, you desire what is good and what is right. And so the Lord sends to you a judge. He sends His Spirit inside of your head and your heart to convict you of your sin. And then He sends to you a speaker of His word again and again to hear His forgiveness, to be renewed, to be raised up again from the death of sin to the life of the Spirit. For it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now you and I, we delight in ourselves. This is true. But in us, that is, in our old nature that we were born with, lives no good thing. That's also true. That's in Scripture. But in Christ, you are new. You are mighty. You do what is good and right, and you never desire what is contrary to His word. These are the two natures that live in you. One nature that only wants what is contrary to His word, and the other nature that only wants what is right and according to His word. Both of these are inside of you. So put to death what is of the old self. Repent and hear the Lord's forgiveness for you today. For you are in Christ. You are forgiven. He is your victory over your oppressors. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.